There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hi listeners, and welcome to the Round 8 Wrap. A week that we had a very naughty willy. A week that the 5th best mark of the round would win any other week of the year. And a week where Port Adelaide tried to become Collingwood. Arch, when was the last time you tried to be something that you aren't?
About 20 minutes ago, Zano, I was pretending to be a basketball player and it didn't go well.
Oh, mate, at our age, does it ever go well?
No, at our age, as I said to you before we jumped on, Zano, I'm just happy to be walking at the end of the game. It's about a 50-50 proposition these days.
Yeah, we're not built for sport anymore, Arch, I'm afraid.
No, well, I mean, it's not just us, Zano. Even these elite footballers that, that's their bread and butter. These elite, finely tuned muscles and that sort of stuff. It just seems that they can do whatever they can to get injured these days.
It doesn't even have to be football related. It's just insane. Exactly. And that's a nice segue, Arch. Because you're going to jump straight into the injuries that we saw. It's just been, and we might come to a bit more of that in our trades in a little while, because there's a few limited trade formats. I'm really starting to struggle and worry I'm not going to get anywhere near full premium in at the moment.
That's a worry, so, isn't it? It is.
Massively.
So we kicked off on Friday night, Zano, where Sam Simpson for Geelong was subbed off at halftime, replaced by Quinton Narkle. Shane Edwards was subbed off in the last quarter with a rolled ankle. He was replaced by Patrick Naish. Then Saturday we had Took Miller. Now, he had some hammy and cramping issues late in the game.
Yep.
Not that that matters too much these at the moment, as you'll come to in a minute.
Yep.
Jake Stringer did a hammy and he was subbed off in the third quarter, replaced by Matt Guelfi. Aiden Bonner did an ankle injury, one of the famous, lots of ankles this year.
Yeah.
Was eventually subbed out for Will Phillips. This is a big one, Zono, Jaden Stevenson. Now, he's one of those guys that if you started with him, to be honest, with the way the season's gone, you just haven't had a chance to get rid of him.
Well, he hasn't been setting the world on fire, per se, but he's made a bit of money and he sure as hell hasn't been burning a hole in your pocket. So he's more than been good enough to sit there and keep moving down your forward list until, you get that opportunity, for sure.
Well, unless you're like me, and I think he's still sitting at F2 because of all the other issues that I've had in... I think I've got him in Dream Team.
In Dream Team, he was my F1. We'll get to that.
So he fractured a wrist,
And
he will be out until after the bye. Nathan Murphy, he took a hit to the head. Now, this was very annoying because I bought him in this week as a rookie downgrade in the back line. So he took a hit to the head in the third. Was scoring quite well, I might add.
Yep.
Not bad for a player on my bench. He did come back on, but was then subbed out of the game. He was replaced by Callum Brown. Dan Houston, who's been another just under-the-radar player this year, he popped a shoulder in the third quarter, which I believe he did a couple of weeks ago as well, and didn't miss a week. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes. He was replaced by Marty Frederick, who a lot of people didn't bring in this week. Because he was named as an out, so
especially
it'll be interesting to see how he goes this week,
and especially in DT and Supercoach where he was on the bubble, so everyone had waited for him to pop, and of course they've missed that little boat, and also in saying that I saw a few guys that actually put the C on him to use the loophole because it was one of the last games in the round, so I had to take the chance. I had no other options, so I think he scored 22 and about 14 points or something in the format, so yep, week over. Go get that bottle of scotch.
Now, Ned McHenry, he was subbed out after a tackle from Scott Lysett, which you'll talk about in a minute. He was replaced by Andrew McPherson. Saturday night. Now, this one's a Saturday night. Not necessarily on a footy field, but still footy related. So Dan Rioli, he needed a couple of stitches because he got popped in the head. In an altercation there, defending his girlfriend. Apparently some fella had some interesting statements to say about his girlfriend.
Yep.
His teammate Shay Bolton also stepped in there and took things one step further and ended up with a broken wrist. obviously decided to give a How's Your Father back. He'll be out for at least 2 weeks with that, Zeno. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yep.
But I was not happy. I just wanted to, you know, this is an interesting one, Zeno. You mentioned Willie Rioli at the start. So he's going to have what's come to him because he was a silly, silly boy.
Yes.
I don't know about you, Zeno, but I've got no issues with these injuries. If some, you know, complete knobhead wants to come up in a, you know, in a nightclub environment where the boys are just out looking to have a bit of fun and start mouthing off about the girlfriend, then absolutely step up and protect the people that you're with. I got no dramas. Even as frustrating as it is with Bolton, I've got no dramas with that. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I have no dramas. Anybody standing up for somebody that's being abused or picked on, that's something that sports people, as being team people, have drilled into them. You know, support your teammates. So that's not the issue. I always just question whether they should have put themselves in that situation in the first place. You know, that's the question for me. Look, I'm all for the guys to go out and have some fun and enjoy themselves, but possibly try and do it a little bit more discreetly than does happen, and maybe stay away from those situations. So, but that's neither here nor there. At the end of the day, they stood up for themselves. I've got no issue with that either.
Yep. Cool. All right, moving on to Sunday. JJK was subbed off with an old man calf. He was replaced by Luke Foley. He'll be, apparently it was pretty cautionary, but I would be very surprised if he gets up for this week. Jack Silvani, Zeno, this one was a bit devastating for the kid.
Yeah.
He was subbed off again, this time with a concussion. Was replaced by Sam Petrescu-Seaton, and
teammate.
He was not happy about it.
Teammate got him
he
as
was
well.
Not happy.
It wasn't even
exactly.
It was Jack Nunes that lined him up. So,
or if you BT Jack Nunes.
Nunes, but Nunes. Yeah, he wasn't impressed by it, poor bugger. But mate, that's footy. Sometimes you just got to keep plugging away.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that. You know, he was on the bench saying, no, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. And you see the doctor basically look at the footage and go, no, you're done. And that was it. So it's good that the doctor's still, you know, I think in most occasions, or I'd like to say in all occasions, to be honest, have the best or the interests of the best interests of the players at heart there.
Absolutely.
And protecting the players from themselves in that scenario.
Absolutely, because he shouldn't have gone back on. It was that simple. And they stopped it, which is what they should be doing.
Yep. Zach Williams in that same game, Zeno, he ended up at full forward after doing nothing all day. He's got to be carrying something. I'm expecting a rest this week because he just did not look right. And again, I'll talk to that a bit more in the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
But it was an absolute horror of a game for him. So
I don't think he's
I'm highly expecting him to be announced that, yeah, he was carrying something and he'll be rested this week.
I don't think he was carrying anything. He announced or didn't announce today. He spoke about today on Melbourne Radio where... He just basically said he's finding it hard to work out his role in the midfield.
You mean he doesn't know how to get the footy?
He doesn't know how to play midfield. So anyway, don't even get me started on that. No, I don't think he's injured, Arch. I just think he's been terrible.
Yeah, okay. Oh, well, I guess that's sort of good news.
Yep, maybe.
At least if he was injured, it'd give you an excuse to get rid of him, I suppose.
Yes.
Western Bulldogs, Lachie Hunter. Now, he's had surgery for a hand injury suffered during the game.
Yeah.
Fractured hand there. No ETA at the stage when I looked at it. And for the Fremantle Dockers, Michael Frederick hurt his ankle in the first quarter. He was subbed off for Connor Blakely. So, again, a few more relevant ones there, Zeno. And I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to get concerned with the number of red dots I've got in my team. Heading into the buys.
I've been working a little bit harder than most and taking a bit of a hit in making. I've got playing rookies at the moment. It's been hard,
yep.
But I'm not too. I've got about 2 to 3 red dots a week or orange dots a week, which I can almost cope with. But it's definitely got to be a problem. You've got to be very wary of it at the moment because the amount of injuries we're having doesn't. If you're getting caught out, it's not giving you the opportunity to keep those guys there until after the buys when you can start to, you know, risk that one playing bench player, not two. So,
yep.
It's making it hard, that's for sure.
All right, and the tribunal actually put you to work, or the MRO actually put you to work this week, Zona. Yeah. Yes, like us. So what have you got for us?
Some relevance in this from a fantasy point of view as well. Yeah. Look, Jeremy Finlayson, he's accepted his one match offering for striking Zach Merritt. Now, probably some relevance there in draft leagues, in deep draft leagues around the traps. So, you know, he's probably floating around on quite a few fields here and there with the amount of injuries and the way the forwards are this year. So that could hurt a few. Now, the two bigger ones, Took Miller. He accepted his one match for rough conduct, Arch.
Yes.
So that, as you sort of put above, doesn't really matter about how sore Sif is. He's having a week off anyway. Look, that'll hurt a lot. I don't know if a lot of people have had the chance to jump on him in salary formats yet. He's been really good, of course, but yeah, Took in draft in particular, that's going to hurt a fair few guys. He's been a captain.
Genuine captain option for a lot of draft guys.
Yeah, easy vice captain, depending on when they play in the round, that so many times you'd be taking. Now, the bigger one just happened this evening was Scotty Lysette, who got sent straight to tribunal for his careless conduct on his sling tackle on Ned McHenry. He's been given 4 weeks. Now, of course, Port still have till tomorrow morning, we're recording Tuesday night, to challenge that, or at least, you know, put in the challenge for that. So time will tell what happens there. But, yeah, I don't mind that one, Arch. I think it was a pretty blatant act, and that's exactly what they're trying to get out of the game.
Yep, yep. And it was a genuine sling tackle. He picked him up and, you know, slung him basically across his shoulder to the ground. And that is one of the things where they are told no ifs, buts, or maybes with that one. You cannot do it. Four weeks is probably at the higher end of what I would have thought he would have gotten, but I don't have a major issue with it.
Yeah, it's the act that, you know, causes the result. And it's just too dangerous. Especially someone of Lysette's size and someone like McHenry's size. It's just, you've got to protect the player, and that's what they've done. So I don't mind that.
Yep. What you going to do, Jerry? Show me the money! Congratulations, you're still my agent. All right, Zona, it is time for your favourite segment, the Chart of Value. What have you got for us this week?
So let's quickly start off with some AEF premiums at the moment, Arch, that are some good and some really bad value. So at the moment, Aaron Hall is still showing ample value. He's got a break even of 38. He's averaging 91. He's priced at 94, but of course he's had that, I think he had a 4 or a 6 or something he scored at some stage. If he averages 105, which isn't out of the equation at the moment, you're still saving $76,000 on him this week. So he's one you're going to jump on. The other one is Josh Kelly as well.
Yes, I'm definitely looking at him if I can.
Break even of 83. We can expect him, with the role that he's got back now, he's obviously mended the fences as whoever he upset there. he could probably go to about a 110 average from here. So he's well and truly unders. The other couple of guys, the other three guys you can sort of look at is Braden Maynard. Look, he's only had one good game, let's be honest, it was against North Melbourne. So I wouldn't be jumping on him. He's got a break even at 61, but you'd want to see more from him. Caleb Daniel, now we've got a couple of questions of Caleb Daniel coming up later. Break even at 75. So if you're going to jump on and think that he can get back to even a 90-95 average, now's the time to do it. And the other one, Arch, which is mind-blowing, is Jordan DeGoey.
No, don't do it.
Nah, break don't even at 61.
Do it.
But what I was going to say, though, it took 6 goals to get him to his score, and that was against North Melbourne, and he's not going to get that any other time this year. So,
as a DeGoey owner in all 3 formats and a couple of draft formats, do not do it.
They actually, I'll come to him in Supercoach in a second. He's actually basically rookie-priced at Supercoach. So,
he is, in Supercoach, I think he's my F6. He is lower priced than Bergman, from memory.
Yeah, I'll come to him in a second, Supercoach. Guys that we're keeping an eye on, but you still want to sort of steer clear of, Max Gawn, break even at 148, so you can still hold a bit on him. Keep an eye on Whitfield, who's got a break even now 140. Had a really good first game back, but struggled his second game back, which isn't uncommon, Arch. You see that a fair bit.
Yep.
And then if you're starting to get more and more desperate for, say, a ruckman, O'Brien's back up to 127 break even again. So there could be some value there. O'Brien's now dropped $170,000 for the year. So
as an O'Brien owner, it's hard work.
I bet it is. And that's actually, there you go. And the goalie's only dropped 173 to give you an idea of how bad he's actually been. He's sort of flown another radar on that. Quickly, AF rookies. Goulden and Rowe are probably just about ready to go. Both have lost money this week.
Yep.
And both have maxed out for sure.
I was just
going
to say, they were ready to go last week.
Yep, break-even of 88 for Goulden, 50 for Rowe. Warner's the other one on the chopping block, break-even of 74. I mean, he's averaging 78. You've probably got another week with him without hurting too much. Yeah, but he's right there. To be honest, there's not really a lot to bring in, Arch, at the moment. You've got Burns, you've got Jordan Sweet, who's got the best break-even of minus 12 at the moment. But he's as much chance of getting regular game as Flynn is, so I wouldn't be jumping on him. Burns and Riley Colley and Dawkins have both jumped up a fair bit now. They're both pushing the mid-250s, but both got good break-evens of minus 10. So there's no real cheap rookies to look at there, so if you're lucky enough to be in a position to start upgrading hard, you can. Super Coach is much the same. Hall, break-even of 30, you're all over that. Daniel, break even of 41. Josh Kelly, 64. They're sort of the guys that you want to look at it. But here's the one I was wanting to talk about, Arch. Jordan DeGoey.
Yep.
269,000 with a break even of 6.
Yep. Yep.
You're desperate.
if you're looking at somebody that is guaranteed best 22, which he is, you can grab him. He will play every week. If you're looking at bringing in effectively an overpriced rookie that will play every week, do it. Just do not expect good scores. Expect rookie scoring, 40s, 50s, 60s, with the occasional 90 or 100.
Yep.
That's what you're going to get.
Fair enough. Look, that's cool. Now, guys that we're sort of holding on to there and keeping an eye on is Ridley. He should drop one more week. Side bottom, Jack Steele at break-even of 145, so keep an eye on that. Dusty Martin's at 159. Whitfield's at 177, so he's going to drop a lot in price over the coming weeks. He's on the bubble as well. And then the other one is Maxi Gawn has a break-even of 228. So he's already dropped 73,000 for the year, and you can expect to see that again over the coming weeks with that break even. So keep an eye on that. Now the rookies and super coach a little bit different. Oops, wrong sheet. Where are you? That one there. Burgess needs to go if you've got him in that, but he was a lot higher priced in comparison than fantasy and DT. So not very well owned in that compared to the other formats. Cozzy has a break-even of 60. Warner, 74. Goulden, 63. So those guys are all on the chopping block now as well. Similar to fantasy, there's not a lot of rookies that you can really jump on. That Poulter that played, he hasn't scored at all well in fantasy, but he's averaging 67 in Supercoach. So he's on the bubble with a break-even of a minus 63. But again, I don't think he's got much JS there. So it doesn't overly excite me. Of course, guys like Jordan, Flynn, Frederick, Jones, Bergman, McNeil, these guys all had a couple of decent games in the last few weeks. So well and truly sitting there making us plenty more money to go. So, but Arch, that'll be up tomorrow morning on the website with all the detail in it. So as always, everyone can jump on there and have a look at it.
Awesome. Great work as always, Zano. And that takes us into our next segment, which is The Good, The Bad and The Ugly. And I think I might let you kick it off this week, Zano, because I'm pretty happy about your good as well. So why don't you let us what you've got this week?
So this shouldn't just be the good for the round arch. This should be the good for the year, for the last 2 years, maybe the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
We have found out today that as of the start of round 10, teams will be announced on the Thursday night, not the day before the game.
Yeah, that's... So happy.
I'll just let everyone take a breath of relief on that and go, oh, thank God. Look, it makes such a difference, doesn't it, Arch? So that's my good for the week, that the AFL... There was a poll put up by the AFL, and I think it was 97% to about 3% in favour of Thursday night. So exactly opposite to what they do want to do with the grand final and not listen to what everybody wants, they did this time. So... yep, it's good news, Arch, and I can't wait for next Thursday when I can be happy with my team sort of before Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and just on that, Zano, the one little thing that probably needs clarifying is, and I haven't seen, as I say, I've been hobbling up and down a basketball court for the last hour or so. Yep. I'm assuming that AFL Fantasy will still stay as full rolling lockout because you couldn't really change the rules halfway through the season there. Do you know if the boys have confirmed that or not?
Saw a tweet about a week ago that said that they expected it to stay regardless.
I haven't nothing said, official, but I would be today. Shocked if it changed.
Yep. I don't think rolling lockout will change. I think it'll stay now, at least for this season. And maybe going forward, who knows? But I'm not anticipating that changing at all, Arch, no. All right, Arch, let's get into your good. I want to hear about this.
So my good is my main keeper league, Zona. Mm. Check this out for the week. So starting from the back line, I had a good week, mate. It was a good week. So I had Lloyd, 115. Sure, and what do we play, Zane? I think we play 5-5-7-1-5. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Yep, yep. So I've got Lloyd's 115, Short's 90, and McAvoy's 86. So very, very happy with that. In the midfield, I had Zach Merritt's 128, Oliver's 102, Menegola's 109, Guthrie's 139, which I looped. Yep. I had JPK at 97 and the great man Dom Sheed with 135 on Sunday. My ruckman is Max Gawn, who after a slowish start finished on 108. Mm-hmm. I had the great man who I don't know why we besmirch so much, Jordan DeGoey on 106. I had Shea Bolton on 85 and then a massive 119 from Josh Bruce in the last game of the or second last game of the round. So you can also throw in good old Scotty Lysett's 108 on the bench that doesn't count because we only run with one ruckman. So that is 11 out of 18 scores of 90 or more, Zano?
Yeah.
Not including Lysett. So I was very, very happy with that. So, yeah, it was a good weekend for that.
It was a very good weekend. Yeah, it's you can't complain with that at all, Arch, but you do know what happens next week now, don't you?
Oh, yes, oh, I know. Don't worry, just wait for my bad and the ugly, Zane. Let's hear your bad, though. What have you got for bad?
So my bad, so it's not a bad segue into this, Arch. Now, we've spoken a bit about this before. How frustrating it is when you get the second highest score of the round and lose your matchup. Yeah. In one of my main season draft leagues in AF, I scored a pretty nice 1750, right? Now, that happened to be the second highest score. To give you an idea how well that was, the third highest score was 1670. So, fair bit of daylight between me and third for the round, but I still happened to lose, Arch, to an 1800 to DC. Not happy about that at all. However, that not only is that frustrating enough, that 1750 was still the sixth highest score of the season. That's 12 teams, 8 rounds. So in 96 scores, that's still the sixth highest score of the round, and I still lost.
I feel your pain, Zano. I feel your pain. So we might just segue straight into my bad, because I feel like we're reading each other's mind.
Flow into
my
your bad.
My bad goes for my main keeper league, Zano. So I mentioned before the awesome score that I've got, and to give listeners a little bit of perspective, right? In our league, with that format that I mentioned before, 1700 will normally get you a win, right?
Yep.
1750, if you get that, you're pretty much 90% of the time you're going to win.
Yes.
1,800 is a guaranteed win every day of the week.
Yep.
I scored 1,826 and I frickin' lost.
Yep.
Dano, with an 1,826.
Yep.
That's like losing scoring 2,300 in AFL yes. fantasy.
Yes.
It is so frustrating. And I can put it squarely on the feet of one player, our good mate Zach Williams.
Oh.
Now, don't get, leading into that game, it was, from memory, it was I needed Williams and Bruce to outscore Doherty by about 35 or 40. Now, Bruce had a great game, as I mentioned before. Yep. I didn't actually need Zach Williams. I didn't even need a good score from him, Zano. I didn't even need an average score. I didn't even need a poor score from him.
Yep.
36 is all I wanted. 30 freaking six, and I would have won. He finished on 28, and just get this for his quarter by quarter scores, Zano. At quarter time, he was on zero.
Yep.
Half time, 11. Three quarter time, 21. Full time, 28. And that was after some last minute junk time right at the end. Now, I could have lived with those if they were his actual quarter score or scores each quarter, but that's cumulative. That is his cumulative score for the freaking game. So I scored an 1826 and I lost to our mate Shannon, and I was not a happy chappy.
Yeah, it was, mate, after the scores that you rattled off above, to then see you lose in that. I lost to a certain bugger called Coxie this week as well, but I wasn't on fire as much as you were this week. I had a few issues. That was, mate, it just sucks. I mean, your 1826 would have been the second highest score for the round pretty easily, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it was, and I actually reckon, without having done the checking that you did, I reckon it would have been close to the second highest score of the season.
Yeah, have
to be.
To be
honest, it would have been the second or third highest score of the season, without a doubt, and I still lost.
Yep. Yeah, it's just... Yeah. Mate, it sucks. It really sucks when that happens. And then next week, you'll probably come up against Shannon and he'll have a shocker for some reason and get about 1,400. So, you know, what do you do? How do you deal with it?
No, so that's it. That's it. All right, Zano, I think we're going to have having a look here, we're going to have a bit of a competition for our ugly. So do you want me to go first for this one?
Go on, you go first. Go on, let's keep it in that order.
So my ugly, Zano, just to keep the trend going, is my main keeper. Now, let's just say, it's fair to say it's been a roller coaster of emotions these last couple of days, Zano, when it comes to the keeper league. Obviously, I was up with my massive scoring, down with having a loss despite that massive score. And let's just say Mad Monday hasn't been fun. So at the Monday team meeting of the guys in my Keeper League team, I found out that not only are my players getting injured during games, they're now getting suspended for 4 weeks like Lysett.
Yep.
They're getting in nightclub fights like Bolton and getting injured there. They're getting additional injuries whilst recovering from an existing injury. So I've got Butters, who somehow has a nerve injury around the knee whilst recovering from syndesmosis. Tell me how that works. They're exacerbating the existing injury. I've also got Caldwell and Jeremy Howe, both of which will have surgery, and it may be season ending.
Yep.
So after setting myself up beautifully, I could not have been happier with my team this year, Zano. It's all just gone pear-shaped, to be honest.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Arch, because we're going to jump straight into my ugly. So we're going to have a challenge here, Arch, as you mentioned. We're going to work out who was harder done by in that home keeper league, right? Now, in that same keeper league, I also have Jack Viney, Patrick Dangerfield, Taylor Adams, Stephen Cornelion, Luke Ryan, who, as of the weekend, were not playing. Some of those guys out for a little while to go yet. On top of that, I've also had to hold on to and work with guys like Lockie Whitfield, Harry Perryman, and Chad Wingard, who have all missed a chunk of games so far this year. So that's just the start of it. I also have Lockie Hunter, who, look, could be out for half the season, for as much as we know. And he's been terrible, don't get me wrong, but at least he's going to get forward status. So an 80-85 averaging forward I was going to be happy with. And I've also had Isaac Heaney, who we know has been missing, but happily traded him out this week to poor old Steve, who copped him for the week that he was out, so as well. But yeah, Arch, there is a hell of a lot of premium there sitting on my bench right now. And the worst part is you can't even go to the waivers and pick anything else up because you can't drop any of those guys.
No, I know.
Like, there's not one person on that list you can drop to the waivers. You just can't do it. So, mate, I've been decimated in that league. Hopefully, most of those guys, well, most of them will be back for at least the second half of the year, and I should come home with a wet sail. But, oh, mate, how do you deal with that? Like, okay, so Jack Viney, there's probably 100, 200, 300, 400, 480, 580, 6. There's 700 points that I've been missing there that I've had to replace with guys that might make you 400.
Yep.
You know, that's 300 points a week. He's supposed to compete with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what we might do, Zano, is we might put up a hard done by poll on our main Twitter page, so at OTLAUS. Who is more harder done by, me or you? And we'll see how that comes out. But I think our listeners are probably getting a bit sick of us whinging, Zano. So we might just move on this week to our Should I Stay or Should I Go? Should I stay or should I go now?
Absolutely, Arch. Thank you for that. So, yep, we're here at the Should I Stay or Should I Go? Now, Arch, with all the stuff we've just spoken about, injuries, suspensions, good players, bad players, who's got value, who doesn't, what are we going to do about it? As we always say, now, you may as well fire off first, Arch. Let us know your moves in AF and Supercoach and Dream Team.
Okay, well, barring any more nightclub rules or anything like that, in AFL Fantasy, I'm going to look to try and bring in Josh Kelly, as you mentioned in your chart of value.
Yep.
Hopefully, and I haven't done this yet, it's been a busy couple of days, but I'm looking to get Anthony Scott down and Goulden up. I'm not sure who I'll look to bring in. It will just be, I'm hoping that Ralph Smith from Richmond might get a game with a couple of those guys out, so maybe might be looking at him, or we'll see how we go with some of the others. So hopefully I'll be able to bring Josh Kelly into the forward line there. In Supercoach, Braden Campbell to Riley Collier-Dawkins. I think he will be the most traded in player this week, and then that will allow me to get Goulden up to a premium. At this point, I'm looking at Tom Mitchell and around that sort of mark. So will be either, around that mark. I haven't made a final decision there. Dream Team, again, Campbell down to Riley Collier-Dawkins.
Yep.
And I've got Stevenson there, so he'll be going straight to his teammate Aaron Hall for that one. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
So that's me for this week. I have no doubt it will change over the weekend or over the coming week. What about you, Zano? What are you looking at doing?
So in fantasy, I took a bit of a hit last week, Arch. I dropped about 1,000 places back to about 4,000 or 5,000. I think about 5,000 overall in fantasy.
Oh,
so
I was at 5,000.
But it was a bit of a strategic hit. I took a hit because there was a couple of rookies I wanted to get on in Burn and RCD. So in the long term, that'll turn around with the money that they're going to make and let me come home with a bit of a wet sail. It did mean that I put $800,000 in the bank. So I've got a lot of money there to go shopping, and I'm about to go shopping. I do have the Stevenson issue, where I'm going to have to move him on. But I'm looking to move on Goulden Stevenson out for Hall and Kelly this week. Two nice moves there. And then next week, as long as Daniel shows some form again, I think I'll be able to get Daniel inside bottom when he bottoms out. Also, both up from rookies. So that should only leave me 4 rookies on field. Sort of heading towards the buys. So, reasonably happy with that. In Supercoach, I have the Stephenson issue as well. I've also got Chapman sitting there. I just haven't had a chance to move on yet. I've got a little bit of money there to play with, but not heaps. So, I think it'll be Stephenson and Chapman out to Hall and RCD in there, Arch, being he's on the bubble. The biggest problem I've got with Supercoach is after that, I'm down to 18 trades, which, to be honest, it's 4 to 6 trades less than I'd like this time of the year. So
I'm down to 18 trades in that format before I make trades this week.
I had to take a donut a couple of weeks ago because I just wasn't willing to trade. I had to hold them. I don't know what I'm going to do there, Arch. 18 trades left. I've got probably 5 rookies left on field. Not a lot of cash generation left. It's going to be a nasty way, Supercoach, this year. Now, in Dream Team, same thing, Chapman and Stephenson. I'm probably, again, looking there at Chapman to and Stephenson out to Hall and probably RCD again while he's on the bubble. So, yeah, Arch, that's sort of my issues. I've got Stephenson in every single format. So that stuff plans up a little bit here and there. I'm going to have to make some changes and move him on.
Better than having to go in every single format.
Yeah, well, at least he can score 106. At least he's playing. Well, he's still a heartbeat.
Well, true.
Don't forget he's a heartbeat. True. All right, Arch, into some questions. Now, we've got a few questions tonight, which is lovely. Jack Sutton off Twitter at JJJokers has asked, could I jump on Ridley now or wait another week? So I'm just bringing back up my chart of value here quickly, Arch. So Ridley...
Yeah, I'll leave this one to you, Zana. You got the numbers there.
Ridley is priced at 91, averaging 85, is break-even of 127. You can well and truly wait another week, maybe two.
Yep,
yeah, you can definitely hold off on Ridley. Unless there's nothing else to do, Arch. Like, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of rookies to jump on this week worthwhile. Yep. So it might be the time to do something like a Ridley as well, or more to the point, a Daniel... or a Kelly or a Hall type. So, no, I'd hold off on Ridley if you have the choice there, I think, Arch.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his numbers there. Obviously, he's scored well to start the season. So he started off 90, 109, 124, 110. Then he had his 15 injury there and missed the game against Collingwood. And he's come back with a 66 and an 82. So we're hoping that he's building back to his early season form.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I'd be looking at waiting to see till he cracks 100 before I'd look to bring him in.
Yep, and actually hold on that there as well, Jack. We've got another question on Ridley. I'll answer something in there as well in a minute. So we'll get to that one shortly.
All right, Zano, next one from our good mate Ando Wallace. He says, guys, I can only trade one of Parker, Marshall or Harms, or trade in one of Parker, Marshall or Harms. Round 14 buy targets. Well done, Ando, for actually looking at the buy, something that I failed to do so far. Thoughts? Zeno, you, what are your thoughts there?
I like Marshall out of that, Arch.
Yep.
I just like that little bit of... I mean, he's going to be... you'd expect him to be a top six forward at this stage. I like that DPP. Look, I don't mind Parker in second. I don't know. Parker's just a guy that doesn't excite me. I don't know why. He never has, never will. He's
a solid draft guy, Zano. I had him in draft in a keeper league for a few years there before I moved him on. And he was always good for a solid 95 to 115.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're after, some stability. But, yeah, I think I like... I'm just having a look at what Harms did on the weekend. Yeah.
Well, Harms is the one that worries me. We've got another question on Harms in a minute, Arch. The reason I'm not big on Harms, I've liked his role the first 2 weeks he's been back, but I think he's only been playing that role because Viney's been out.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit dubious on Harms because if Viney's back, I think he gets pushed back to that defensive role again, which will hurt his scoring. So I think there's a big risk there. I think Viney's probably back this week. He was a test last week, so he can't be far off. Yeah, he's been scoring okay, Harms, and his role's been good. But again, with Viney not far off, I'm just worried about that role.
Yeah. Cool. No, I agree. I like, of those ones, look, I actually like Harms the most, to be honest. I think he's got the best upside. I don't know if I could bring him in. What's he priced at? 515. So he's not badly priced there. Look, sometimes, Zano, you've just got to back in your gut. If you like his role and you think it'll continue, I've got no issues with bringing him in. I think his upside's better than Marshall's. But you are banking on him continuing that midfield role. And yeah, I'd like to see him keep that for a week while Viney's back, as you say.
Same. You'd want to see him scoring like that when they've got the full midfield back. So, I'm not hot on him just yet. So that's cool.
Yep.
All right, Arch. Now, AJS Hawker has sent through about 10 questions here. Let's start with the first one and work our way through them. So, Caleb Daniel, will he get to keep his preferred role? Forward for three quarters, scores 45. Defender for one quarter, scores 45.
He got Bevo, Zana.
Yeah, he actually didn't play forward much at all. What actually happened was he was tagging Saad out of the game. And so because of that, Saad kept having to try and push forward to get his hands on the footy. So that's why he kept on looking like he was playing forward. He was constantly playing on Saad up the ground. But then Bevo released him in the last quarter and he went bonkers. So I don't know. I'm waiting a week on Daniel to see if it happens again this week, and then we'll work it out from there, I think.
Yep. Cool. His next question, why is Ridley playing lockdown defender? Zano, can you read Rutten's mind and find out why he's playing that role?
The only thing I can think of is because Hurley's still not back, and I think that's why he's playing it. They're lacking that key defender, so he's having to do so. I don't know when Hurley's due back either, so again, I'd like to see Ridley, like we mentioned earlier to Jack, I'd like to see another week or two on Ridley just to see what he's doing, because he is slowly building back to 100 scores, as you mentioned, Arch. But yeah, with Hurley not there, I just think if he comes up against a team with a few tall forwards in it, he might get stuck having to play lockdown roles.
Yep.
Cool. Now this next one, Arch, surprised me a little bit. AJ needs some round 13 forwards or backs. Right? Obviously looking at the buys.
Yes.
I had a quick look at this. So, mate, how's this sound for a list? Zeeble, Hall, Kelly, Marshall, Mills, Laird, Crisp, Salem, Stewart, Billings, Whitfield, Fife, Impey and Sidey. All playing round 13.
Yeah, so I was wondering if he's actually after players that are playing round 13.
Yep.
Or after players that have the round 13 buy, so he gets them for round 12.
Yeah. You might
but
be right.
I think you're more on the mark there than what I am.
Yeah, so they're all the guys that are actually playing round 13. So I would have thought it'd be more that way because you've got two other rounds to pick other guys. So, if that's the case, mate, you've got plenty of guys' options there for round 13. I really like Sidey. He's going to drop in price a fair bit. We've already mentioned Kelly. Who else is there? Whitfield should have bottomed out in the next couple of weeks. So there's a few guys you can jump on there, Cheap Arch.
Cool. All right, and I'll let you do the next questions, Zano, because there's about 150 of them, and I'm not sure who it's from, so it must have come to you.
Yeah, so these are from AJ as well.
Oh, really? Oh, he's still going. Okay, so he's awesome. Still going. Thanks, AJ.
No
Keeping
worries.
Keeping us in business, mate.
Yep, so he's asked, Dusty, too early? Need to see something first. You can answer that first if you want, Arch.
Yes.
Yes. I wouldn't touch
it's
Dusty.
Too early? Yes, you need to see something first.
I wouldn't touch him full stop. I just don't like his up and downs. Unless you can get him for the last week of Pick'em, Arch, when he gets to the grand final and just does it Dusty.
Yeah, if you can get him captain in the grand final in AFL Fantasy Pick'em, absolutely.
Yeah, other than that, I'm not a big fan of him in fantasy anymore, I'm afraid. But that's cool. Too late for Heppel.
Now, Heppel's interesting, Zano. So just having a look at his scoring, he's been really consistent. He had one good week.
Yeah.
So he scored 83, then he missed a couple of weeks with that back injury.
Yeah.
86, and then a massive 142, but we all know how defenders go against Collingwood.
Yep.
86 against Carlton and 89. So he's now priced at 651K after starting at 566. So he's gone up a 100,000 there. Have you got his break even, Zano? Have you got that info?
I don't have it in my sheet, no, because I haven't seen him as being sort of value. And the reason why, Arch, is you said it yourself just then, he missed those two games with his back.
Yep.
He is going to miss games.
Yeah, and look, I think at this stage, yes, it's too late for Heppel because you shouldn't be looking to bring in players that are averaging... Oh, look, he's averaging 95, okay? It's as a defender, it's not bad, but it's really helped by that 142.
Yep.
Effectively, what you're bringing in is an 85 to 90 averaging defender who may miss a week or two at crucial times. So,
yeah, my concern
yes,
isn't
it's
his...
too late for him.
Yep, is he scoring? I don't mind that, and even his price. If that was anybody else, you'd be pretty keen on it. Someone like Ridley is an example. But, yeah, I can just see headache written all over that. All over it. He could miss. He could play for 4 weeks, miss one. Play for three, miss one, you know? So.
Cool. Yep. All right, next question he's got. Weeder in question mark, exclamation mark, question mark, exclamation mark. What you're the Carlton man, Zano. What are your thoughts on Weeder?
No.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at his scoring. And again, he's built as the season's progressed. So 55, 61, 65, 76, 70, 93, 102, 117. So unless he keeps going on that trajectory and scores 135 this week, if you reckon that'll happen, then absolutely. But no, you just couldn't do it.
No.
There will be a week that he does a 35.
Maybe
more of an option in Supercoach, absolutely, but not in AFL Fantasy.
No, not happening. I'm not even going to discuss it, to be honest. You can't go there. And then he's also mentioned Harms, but worry about Viney return. As we said, if you think he's going to hold that role, definitely. I think Viney will probably impact him. So give it a week with Viney back, and then I think we can make a decision.
Yep, agree there.
Cool. Well, that is it for questions this week. So thanks again, listeners. As always, hit me up at OTLZano for anything, especially around the value charts out there. And of course, overlinesports.com.au, brought to you by Check My House Price. I will have that article up tomorrow. And as we always say, stay safe out there.
And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And I just want to give a massive shout out. The NBA season, or the real dream team.
Yes.
NBA season finishes up this week. So my last article out there has been posted there, and it's all been locked out as of today. So just thanks to everyone who's been reading that article. And also a massive thanks to Will Weber,
yep,
who has been doing our captain's articles for the last probably 10 weeks or so. He's been magnificent. And it's not a coincidence, I know, that my climb back up the overall ranking started when he started writing his articles. It's no coincidence at all. So massive thanks to Will for that one. And we will be back next season again with the schedule analysis. And hopefully we might keep Will chained up in the basement and he will be back with his captain's article as well. As always, obviously, there's been a bit of another scare in Melbourne this week with COVID. So if you are concerned or anything like that, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. And as we mention every week, hit us up on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. And not just us, but all the fantasy podcasts that you do listen to. There is a lot of work that goes into it, mainly by Zano. So it is nice to get a 5-star rating there on that.
It is. Look, best of luck, everybody. Stay tuned for next week. And hopefully we'll have less injuries, Arch. We can only dream. Only well, dream.
Players stay out of nightclubs, mate.
That's it. Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.